views and opinions expressed on Geeks Under the Influence are that of the panelists and not of our sponsors, Amazon.com and TeePublic. Parental discretion is advised.
I, for one, definitely thought that I would be dealing with a lot more aliens, like homicidal killers that escaped from insane asylums, serial killers and the like, because of these stories that we heard when we were growing up from campfires or otherwise, that was just a thing that you had to deal with on a regular basis.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I thought I'd be dealing with a lot more quicksand, and honestly, I'm a little disappointed.
Minimal quicksand.
There's
quicksand.
Like no quicksand. There's quicksand in movies, and I was prepared. I knew how to deal, and I haven't had to utilize that at all, and it's kind of like people ask if you're gifted, and it's like, yeah, but I haven't been able to utilize it yet.
You know, you're disappointed you haven't been able to use your sweet fucking quicksand skills that you learned in your living room?
You guys don't even know.
I'm saying, okay. Passion. I like it.
The floor was quicksand instead of lava growing up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The floor is quicksand. Oh!
I'd never even heard of lava that like you speak of.
That'd be like a very slow, boring show.
Yeah.
Like, if you know if you hit lava, you're going to just melt instantly. But, like, quicksand, you're like, I'm just still kind of here in
you're
the quicksand.
You're just kind of sad for 45 minutes.
You get to say your last goodbyes
to, like,
really
your entire extended family.
Exactly.
So, but
tie up all your loose ends.
But in realness, though, imagine if, you know, it was something that you believed as truthfully as naive kids can believe into something. Mm-hmm. And then it carries into teenage years and then adulthood. And then as an adult, you find out that it was all a lie, but it was legit. Like, the core of you, your core principle. Imagine that.
Well, that's like
that's rough, right?
We deal with certain avenues of that, like growing up, where there's like the Santa Claus thing and the Easter Bunny. And
wait, what are you trying to say?
That they actually will make you scream until you die
if you
touch them.
I actually did.
What the fuck?
My daughter asked me. She's about to lose her first tooth, and she asked me. She's like, "So what does the tooth fairy do with my tooth?" And I was like, "Shit, I didn't think about this ahead of time." So I said, "Well, she saves them, and she builds a house with all the children's teeth." Which at the time sounded right, but then I started thinking, what a fucking evil...
That's horrifying.
That is disgusting.
This house, but I mean, it would take a fuck ton of time. I mean, this is years and years of working with these little tiny fucking teeth to build a house. So I thought, well, that kind of works, but it also painted this really fucked up image of this tooth fairy building this house of children's teeth.
Is that horrifying
or is it resourceful?
Yeah.
Which is a good lesson to teach our children.
True.
Or youth.
I mean, she's paying to build her house.
All right.
Here's your tooth. That's, you know, going to, you know, the left wall, and here's $2 for that.
Well, I think stories that we're told as kids that we think are true to some degree, you know, end up becoming kind of like the myth that we enjoy as adults, where like crazed killer that escapes from the asylum ends up becoming Mike Myers that we enjoy as adults in horror movies, and the better angels and the lesser demons that we deal with in our childhood become like a mythos, and we think as adults like how they would look like if they were realistic versions of our childhood, whether it be like the hero that saves the day or the villain that tries to destroy the world. If all that glamour was taken away, it looks really fucking abysmal. I mean, just with the MCU and everything that happens with the superheroes there, it's glamorous, and like even the Civil War where they're fighting each other because of like whether to be registered or not, it's all very glamorous and crazy. But when you break down people that are not held accountable for anything that they do, you get the fucking boys. You got somebody with laser beam eyes that can just be like, oh, I'm done talking to you.
Yeah.
Done.
Just at any time. Just like, I'm bored, dead. Like,
yeah.
You could just insult them in the wrong way, you know? You're gone. He just disintegrates you with, like, no thought at all. Like, no effort. Barely any effort.
Barely any effort. Yeah. And I love in The Boys, too, that they kind of show that with, like, Homelander and the other characters where they're not kung fu masters or anything. The choreography is really weak, but I think that actually works because they've never had to learn to fight.
Well, I mean, fuck the first season, the first episode of The Boys. Girlfriend gets turned into splatter.
Just casual destruction.
Casual destruction.
What a dream. I mean, that's bad.
That's terrible.
I don't like that at all.
It's the same thing with Superman in Man of Steel, where they murder thousands of people.
Don't get started. God damn it. And then he saves the family. Yeah.
He saves the family, so it's fine.
Don't hurt the family. I know that like 80 people were in that building that just fell apart. But
that's never focused on in these superhero movies. And then you've got The Boys, where that's the entire focus of the series.
That's one of the great things of The Boys is that They touch on mental illness and stress of the job, things that we just never think. Like, I wonder if Superman stressed the fuck out. You know, like, you never think about it. And, yeah, you know what a stressed, mentally fucked up Superman is? Homelander.
Homelander.
Yeah.
And we are going to get into that on this episode. I am very excited to get into it because we were doing the Potoween bracket of shows where we were talking about horror-centric stuff during October. So we pushed this a little bit back. But I'm actually kind of thankful that we did, because this episode is dropping right after the election, and there's a lot of conversations about the kind of universe that's been developed in the series specifically of The Boys that is very parallel to some of the stuff that the United States at least is dealing with in this current time. So we're going to get into that and a lot more on episode 199.
Oh, shit.
Of Geeks Under the Influence, all on The Boys Season 2. Welcome.
Buildings at work. It shall be again a changing of the guard. The Deadites marching in. You think you can hold out, but you know you're wrong. So you better join us now. You better do it fast, or you will be. Necronomicon uses power to rise from the dead. He played the tape. Our blade begins to spread. You can fight all you want, but you fail to resist. We're here to take the world and rule with an iron fist. So join us.
Woo!
Yeah.
Shimona. Good job.
Oh.
I don't know. So The Boys Season 2, like, it's just as good, if not even better, than the first season. I fucking loved it. I will tell ahead of time that we are going to be going heavily into spoilers on The Boys, and additionally, also glancing on the comic books as well. So if you don't want any spoilers on maybe some things that might be coming up on The Boys, they've been really good about it being an entirely different animal than the comics.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Even mentioning stuff that happens in the comics, there's no guarantee that it's going to happen in the series. But
or just hinting at stuff that if you've read the comics, you're like, oh, shit, this is about to happen. And they go, we'll just change it a little bit.
Change it a little
We're
bit.
We're going to fuck with you as the comic reader, but change it
Change
enough.
It just a little yeah. bit. But yeah, so we are going to be talking on the comics. We're going to be talking on up through the season finale of season 2 of The Boys. If you've seen more than that, what alternate universe are you in? I want to go to there so I can see season 3.
Drop the links.
Who right? do you work for?
Yeah, right. Before we get into the 7 of The Boys, I'm going to get into the 4 of this panel.
Nice.
Oh,
you like that?
Man. Solid.
No. I thought it was pretty good.
Of course you did.
Yeah. To my left...
Purveyor, the one person who was into it.
The one person into it, like, yay, you did good.
High five.
I feel like you just need to patronize the simpleton, and that's what you're doing.
But I'm also a simpleton, so I'm like, yay, fun. Wordplay is cool.
The simpleton on the show.
Hi.
The host. Aww. The host of Deeply Upsetting.
It's okay.
Wow.
Damn.
All right.
Host of Deeply Upsetting and a regular contributor on a number of the other shows on the network. We've got Amy Bogard here.
Hi.
I am
reporting for duty.
So stoked that we got you as a group. I think it was mainly Groots that got you to convince to watch The Boys season 1.
Groots was my number one. Absolutely. He made sure that I watched it.
And I was more than happy to rewatch season 1, and then we were able to watch season 2 together, which yes. was a blast.
That was fun.
And you're into it.
I am. I'm very, very into it.
Which traditionally you're not big on the superhero stuff. For the most part, there's some exceptions.
It's not my go-to. Yeah. And I think that's how Groots got me there, because apparently he's not as hugely into the superheroes.
I don't want to hear about Groots getting you there,
all right,
personally.
All
that's
right, all right,
that's
all
right. A bit much for me. But
but yeah, he's apparently not a big superhero person either, and told me that I would probably love it and told me exactly where to like give it a shot until, but I was hooked right away. And here I am.
Fuck yeah.
Talking about it.
Now, another one on the panel that has read the comics, I believe, right?
Yes, yes, yeah.
I think the two of us are the ones that have read the comics
yeah.
on the panel here. Co-host on both Beautiful Disasters and From the Mouths of Madness. We got Fuck You Hunter here.
What's up, bitches? Or, I guess, cunts? I don't know. Like...
Cunts?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I think for this episode, we can let that fly a little bit easier. In context, I think it's okay.
If we're advising right. people to watch the show, they're going to hear that word a few times. Just a few.
Just a couple.
A couple, yeah.
100 times. So you have read the comics. And
yes.
Now, for me, I hadn't read the comics in years. I read them a while back. So it was surprising how much I was able to recall from reading the comics.
There's a few things in the comics that just kind of stick with you.
There's definitely some hazy parts as well, and we'll get into that probably on the episode as well. But I'm happy to have you here to really talk about the differences between the two.
Yeah, I'm
with everybody.
Stoked. I love the fucking boys.
Now, speaking of the boys, my boy, my co-host, my partner in crime here on the Geeks Under the Influence Network, the Sexual Chocolate, Mr. Lowdown Brown MacGyver is here.
Go on, everyone.
Happy to have you here. You are also a big fan of the boys, obviously.
Yes.
And I feel like the boys fits you more than other superhero movies because, like, there's a level of the characters where it's so much more realistic than the, like, the characters like, I believe in America and freedom and let me save the day. And these people are like, fuck, I guess. And we've had long conversations about just, like, the nature of, like, human, like, experience and how people are as people. This is more reasonable to be like, people kind of suck. Even the good ones kind of suck.
Kind of. No, yeah, I love this show. So I haven't finished the comic series, but I'm not looking at spoilers when I watch the series because I noticed right off the bat that it's different enough. I mean, they make sure to throw some shots in, and they threw a shot in season two that I wasn't expecting them to do at the end, but they did it. And I was like, holy shit, okay. I feel like I'm a mix of Huey and Butcher. That's who I identify with.
Depending on what day it is or
pretty much
you off.
That's like a Jekyll and Hyde thing going on right there.
I'm just just to balance it out, I'll throw in a splash of mother's milk minus the OCD. No, right. With a little bit of the OCD.
And a little bit of the female of the species. You know, just all the boys.
No.
All the boys.
No. Like, well, I mean, I wonder what it would be like to rip someone's guts out. Honestly.
So, okay, there's the splash of the female of the species.
There you go.
Yeah. I mean, okay. I guess I'm just all the boys, crew.
All just blended together.
Blended together.
Well, maybe I'm, maybe less Huey, more Frenchie. Because Frenchie's has enough empathy, but like, that is outweighed by Butcher, right?
Mm-hmm. I can see that.
I see. I'm probably more Butcher, a little less Frenchie, but a little bit of the mother's milk to kind of
throw
it in.
Yeah, would lean towards the Butcher thing.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying.
On your bad days, definitely.
Yeah. I mean, you know, cracking someone's head against walls got to feel good, especially if you do it on a regular basis. Or you think it loses its appeal if you do it on a regular basis.
I don't. I think I've always leaned towards being Huey, being like, "Hey guys, hey." Ugh.
Useless.
High five,
you basically want to be useless. When you're not listening to Billy Joel.
Hey, Huey took out at least one of the members of the Seven. So,
that's true.
I mean,
he did.
Yeah,
he did take out.
All he did was press a button, but still,
he pressed the button. Yeah. Who else got it there and got him there?
Did the dirty work
exactly.
When it comes to GUI, when it comes to butt stuff, yeah. I'm the one that you call.
There you go.
What do you think of butts? Think of Hobbit. Wait,
the man to call 1-800-BUTT-STUFF. You get the Hobbit.
That's me.
Yeah,
I'm butt stuff guy.
Oh,
by the way, if you want to get all your butt stuff and other GUI related stuff, hit up GUIPodcast.com for links to all our social media and links to all the other shows on the network. We've got a bunch of shows, a bunch of episodes all the time. Follow us on social media. Join the conversation. Let us know what you want to hear. Yeah. What I really wanted to get into first off is like the kind of parody of the boys and how they took some of the standard tropes of superheroes and they kind of turned them on their head, starting with the Seven, where the Seven... there are more than seven characters that make up the Seven. There's some characters that have kind of bowed out and new characters come in, both in the comics and the series as well. And they are all kind of representative in some way to well-known and well-beloved comic characters. So the Deep, which in the comics, he's wearing like a big, like old school, like deep diver helmet. And it's way grittier looking.
I think one of the parallels with the Seven compared to obviously the Justice League or the Avengers is that they form to unite to take down evil and stuff like that. And the Seven, it's just a PR move. It's just pretty much to the point where the Deep, his abilities didn't change, but he had bad press. So they're like, yeah, you're out, dude.
I'm being soft, but you just call it bad press.
Yeah, bad press. You know.
Can we just talk about the Deep is just fucking useless?
That's the old.
He knows.
No, he had the will stop. Never mind.
Exactly. No, he's literally the Aquaman in this scenario. He is fucking useless.
Except he has no powers besides talking. Like, Aquaman at least had strength and something else. He literally is like, dolphins, attack them.
He killed a whale, season two, killed a dolphin in season one.
Yeah.
That's all he's done. Oh, and you know, horrible.
We all knew when he's like, I'll stop you with the whale. Nope.
That was not going to end well.
No, and we all knew.
That was not going to end well.
You're selling butcher. Yeah.
Butcher's driving.
Yeah. Butcher's going to step on the fucking gas. He's not going to slow down because of a fucking whale.
His name is Butcher.
Yeah.
If one thing he knows how to do is to cut into some meat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I just... the Deep is just completely fucking useless. That's all I had to say. He's just...
But he's still on the team for whatever.
Well, not in season two, he wasn't.
He wasn't. But most of that wasn't because, again, his powers didn't change. Nothing changed. Just literally, they were like, yeah, you're not helping our stuff. So
Well, and that turn actually was kind of what I appreciated about the series, that it kind of built out this world a little bit more, that the Deep originally wasn't involved at all in the what in the comics was a Bukkake Fest. on Starlight, it was, I think, Homelander, Black Noir, and was it like Jim from Jupiter or something? It was
we're drawing blank.
It was one of the other seven that had a fuck party.
Yeah,
but the Deep was not involved at all. But they put it on the Deep because he's useless, and so basically, like, took him out of the seven in the series. But I love that they were able to have the Me Too conversation, but additionally, also. The conversation of redemption and also cult as well, that he joined this weird new agey cult that was not part of the comics. It just built this universe out that much more to develop like a conversation about, did he actually learn? Did he actually find redemption, or is he just trying to find his way back into the seven? Like, it really,
and I don't think they actually care too much. If he does, it's all PR.
No.
Like, and
what can we show the public of how you've redeemed yourself.
Yeah,
not have you actually redeemed yourself, but, you know, what can we show you?
But that character is the punching bag for this series to show kind of like the bad nature of this entire thing. You know, it's all about PR.
Well, I mean, yeah, exactly. Like, the entire show, like Abbott said, it all revolves around the PR and what you can do for the business that is Vought or the Church of, what's it, Light? Whatever the fuck, the something Light. Whatever.
Yeah.
And by cult, do you or whatever religion, did you just mean like Scientology? Because that's what the fuck that is. It's fucking Scientology.
Yeah,
Scientology. Come on. I mean, God, it's disgusting. Anyway, sorry. You edit that out.
I do appreciate first episode.
No, we're good.
Because the seven.
Our Thetan level is low on this podcast. Yeah. We're fine. They're going to leave us alone.
Yeah. I appreciate though that it's the seven and they all work as a team, but it's Homelander and then the people, everybody on that team. Is scared shitless of fucking Homelander, all right?
Yeah.
Because he's a fucking sociopath.
And if you weren't sure, the first episode, it's like, just in case you're like, maybe he's working out his anger. No, because they were like, here, we found a replacement for, you know, a new member that could be the seven. You know, he's blind, but he has all these abilities. And literally, Homelander's like, yeah, go fuck yourself. And just destroys the eardrums. And like, you're done.
See, I don't necessarily view that as showing the darkest side of Homelander.
No, he's just the asshole side of
him. He's just the asshole side. It's like, so if somebody were to fuck up your hearing, you are useless in the seven. And I was like, that's actually a good point.
Yeah.
Just saying.
But he couldn't just say it. He had to show it.
He had to show it,
but,
yeah.
You know, I understand if that was the conversation, is that you literally have one thing that needs to happen for you to be useless to us. That could be a conversation. But what he followed with was not that. It was that, you really think I was going to allow a cripple?
There you go.
Exactly.
There you go.
The blind guy now has no eardrums, all right? You don't do that just casually. You do that as you want to be a fucking asshole and make a point.
Mm-hmm.
And also, just for his whim, here's a dude where not only has he overcome to such a degree, and I think that's also kind of the point, is that Homelander's never had to overcome shit.
No.
Granted, his childhood was not the best, but he's always been super powered. He's always been catered to. He's always been the person that's more powerful and more in charge than basically anybody else. And here comes this dude that has overcome so much adversity to become a superhero. And he's like, yeah, it sucks for you, bro. Pop. Like, you're done. It's just kind of a show of his privilege as a superhero of being like, it doesn't matter how much adversity you've overcome. I can knock you down in 1 second flat.
Are we dumbing it down to say that he had a not good childhood, or he had a loveless, miserable, robotic childhood?
I mean, that's not good.
Yeah.
I just feel like not good doesn't quantify the level. And this isn't, I mean, Homeland's a piece of shit. I'm just saying that, like, the way he is, where he's like, and then he immediately goes into saying, like, you think I let a cripple on here? He was not taught any empathy.
None.
At all.
He was never taught empathy.
And that's his childhood.
Yeah.
His childhood was just no love, no emotion, power. And I have this power, and everyone will bow down to this power. That's all he was taught.
It's not, but that's, you can tell he's so much as what public takes him as. And so when he's being made fun of, that's like the worst fucking thing in the world. That's when he starts really fucking losing it. Is like shit can fall apart around him that he knows about, but once he's not being put on this pedestal, that's where you can see. And the actor's fucking great because you can.
Oh, brilliant!
He has that smile, and that's not a good smile. That's a I'm going to destroy so much shit smile.
Yeah,
and you're like, that's not good.
Well, and the big push for this change in how he deals with the public and how he feels about himself really is with his realization that he's got a kid, and then. But he approaches being a father in this incredibly robotic way because, again, he did like Lowdown said, he had no real understanding of like empathy or parenting or anything in his upbringing. So when he shows up and hangs out and the kid is like, you are special. I is special. Me push you off roof. It's just very, there's no real like warmth to him whatsoever.
It's a protege.
Yeah, it's a protege. It's not an actual son.
He almost seems disgusted when the kid's talking about like, I learned this and this and we play the state capitals. He's like, oh, I don't fucking care about it. Like that's how it's his child, but he gives two shits about anything besides, look, Dad, I can fly. Look, Dad, I could burn someone. I could destroy somebody. He doesn't care about anything but I want to see your powers. Like the kid keeps trying to like tell him all this stuff, and he's unimpressed until he's like, "Well, let me push you out the roof." That's there. You go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's because Homelander's entire life is about usefulness, and so he's never met anyone that can even match him because he has fucking laser eyes until Stormfront, which I'm sure we'll get into. That is kind of affected by said laser eyes, except for sexually, which is a weird moment.
My chest.
Yeah, that was really a lot. But yeah, if his kid's not useful, then what is he? Because his whole life is usefulness. So he needs someone else that's also useful, or else he's not going to carry on the family name.
Who's going to murder innocence when I'm gone?
Exactly. Yeah. We have to think about these things with our children.
And I agree that, with Stormfront, laser eyes just equated to gush.
Jesus Christ.
Like, holy shit.
No kink shaming, bit.
Don't fucking stop. I'm like, oh, God damn. Fuck.
We got a storm front in our pants.
Oh, that's an episode title.
Yeah.
We can get away with that too. Storm front in our pants.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
All right, writing that down.
That's a good one. But yeah, Stormfront, that like she came in and added a whole other level of I want to believe she could have destroyed Homelander if she really tried, because she wasn't fazed by a lot of his shit, you know?
I don't know if she could have destroyed him, but she knew how to...
She could have hurt him.
She knew how to kind of control him. I mean, like, you know, like, after a while, because...
How do you destroy? You go past the obvious and go into the unobvious, which...
I don't know. His kid did enough business. I don't know if she could have destroyed Homelander.
Maybe the kid's just stronger.
Maybe. But what I appreciate about her coming in is she took a whole different approach. You know,
racism?
Yes, but also how to influence besides your basic PR, like, you know, have a commercial.
Memes and...
She was like, use the memes, use this. And I think she said something like, look, you could spend like $200 million and get like so-and-so many people to love you, but you could also pay like five tech nerds to set up memes and build up arguments and aggression. And that also gets you what you need. Like, she already knew how to kind of build up and stoke the fires.
So interesting that she knew so much about propaganda as a former Nazi.
Yeah, it's weird.
Fascinating stuff here.
And that's actually a good tie into just current climate is. Well, out now, both sides utilizing propaganda to get their needs across.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, and I feel like The Boys actually does that relatively well. They definitely speak to a lot of the government that we've been under for the past few years. There isn't not poking on the other side as well. There's definitely this conversation about the uselessness of those not in power.
It was kind of a relief, though, that as soon as it came out that she's a Nazi, people all reacted the way they should, as in Nazis bad. That's where it's kind of weird
different
to look at it in current events. Because remember, like, they once that hits and they're like, oh, she's fucking done. Maybe not in this day and age as much as the movie, as the show.
But in the same breath, in the finale, they show the woman that has barely been fighting for everyone's rights is actually the fucking soup terrorist. Yeah.
Which is fucking awesome.
Blowing people's heads up. And she is the other side. And absolutely. She is blowing people's heads up.
And it is
and she's working the system.
Exactly.
Yeah. Amazing that there are definitely like villains on all sides. Like, and
I love
that's,
that, though.
That's kind of the beautiful thing of The Boys, where I was thinking about like how you were going to position all these characters in comparison to modern day. And then you've got like Homelander, who is the ultimate example of privilege. So wealthy and so well-to-do that feels almost untouchable. And that is Homelander. Not to put superpowers in the Trump camp, but like this, the mentality of being like, I am untouchable. Nobody can fuck with me. I can do whatever I want kind of attitude. Mm. And then you've got Stormfront, which is just the alt-right,
yeah,
which knows all the buzzwords, knows all the woke terminology, uses social media, is super in with all the millennials, knows how to use all the apps and everything, and seems like progressive in the way that they approach things. And then there's that hard turn, which Patton Oswalt talks about on his bit, like the person that knows all the language, but then it turns hard and like, and that's why we should kill disabled people.
Yeah,
you know, that like hard turn, like, no, that's not at all okay.
Well, I think one of the things that The Boys kind of makes clear is that, you know, Vought is in the pocket of the government and, you know, the superheroes are all here to protect us. And it kind of harkens back to what we were talking about at the beginning of the episode about things that you thought as a child that were kind of like a rude awakening, let's just say. And this kind of illustrates the point is that as children, we were taught that the government is here to protect us. And this show is giving evidence to the fact that we're all waking up to a lot recently is that no, it's fucking not.
No.
And we've been fed a lot of bullshit over the years and a lot of propaganda and a lot of heroes that are not here to protect us. They're here to protect themselves.
Yeah. And their interests.
Yes. And that's the
all
harsh
government
truth of it
is
all.
Here to protect themselves. Exactly. And their paychecks. Yes.
And that relationship between Vought and the government is definitely a conversation that really harkens to some of the stuff that we're dealing with currently in our government and society, of the idea that government officials aren't really focused on, you know, Dan Stevens in Ohio. You know, they don't give a shit about him at all. They more care about like their interests within corporations, big money, where money's coming from and going to. Uh-huh. And that is Vought, like,
yeah,
hands down. Not only the media wing, where The Boys definitely speaks more of the MCU, like cinematic universe, more than the comics. Whereas in the comic, they talked more about comics than movies because of the time it came out. But Vought is this like industrious, they make movies, they make weapons, they make everything. They're pharmaceutical, they're fucking multifaceted.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great is when they have the hearing, you know, we're gonna put them on trial, and the whole person that set everything up, you know, this congresswoman, you know, we're gonna put them on trial, and she didn't give two shits about that. She's just like, let me get them all in one room, and then the super terrorist shows up just to say, oh wait, it's even at this level. So,
yeah.
I mean, like,
right?
Yeah. Like, she's the one that set up, I want them on trial, goddammit. I want every representative. And, like, then she's like, all right, everybody's in, and explodey, 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 and explodey, explodey.
Exactly.
Kill 14 birds with one head splodey.
Yeah.
With
yeah.
one head splodey.
By the way, the first time that happened with the agent that was in the first season, when Dewey,
oh yeah,
they're talking to, and all of a sudden she's like, what you guys have to, and then explode. And then, as all of us would do, we run, freak out, like, is my head about to explode?
Cause sure.
They hadn't seen that yet. Holy fuck.
Yeah.
Which also, I love that, and this wasn't part of the comics as well, that the insane asylum full of heroes, where you've got the weirdest powers that exist in there, and also
the
some
penis.
Of the
you
most...
Know, you can bring up all the powers, but there's one that sticks out.
And that is actually...
Literally.
That is actually a...
Yes!
That is actually a character that showed up in the comics, though his powers are very different in the show versus... That was the Love Sausage, which was a Russian agent from the comics
yeah,
that actually teamed up with the boys briefly when they were dealing with like a Russian superhero or something.
There's certain ones I didn't think might show up from the comic into the show.
The love sausage.
That one, I was a little surprised.
Yeah,
be honest.
He did not have a extendable prehensile dick in the comics.
Dude, that was so. You just saw it coming through and wrapped around Mother's Milk neck. And I'm like, wait a minute.
Yep.
That's an uncircumcised penis.
Yep.
I love the bit where Mother's Milk is on the phone with Butcher. And then Frenchie's in the background. Tell him how you had a dick wrapped around your neck. And he's like, Butcher's like, what? And he's like, oh, it's just Frenchie. Never mind.
He's just being Frenchie. Okay, hold on. With Mother Milk's like hardline Denzel. And I said this in the episode about season one. He is just a Denzel who goes to the gym. Seriously. Yeah. Like his whole mannerism is Denzel Washington.
Yeah. Now,
have we seen 100%. That actor in anything else besides this?
I have no idea.
I don't know from anything else.
Did Denzel just like make it that's the regular black New York dude?
Maybe.
Is that what Denzel did? I don't know because
I don't know.
Literally,
Mother Milk has a little bit more of a hip hop vibe to him than Denzel ever had. Hip hop.
Have you watched Training Day?
Yes, but even then, Denzel's got that like classic cool kind of vibe to him more so than that. Like that.
What about the lip? Come on, man.
Okay,
that
the lip
is the same, dude.
Yeah, the
so
lip is the same.
You take the like 75% minus the 25 of the OG that Denzel has. Add the lip. I mean, come on, dude.
All I'm saying is the actor
That's
playing
fair.
Mother's Milk. Needs to be in more stuff because he has a presence.
Yeah,
like he does. He's
Absolutely.
Also big.
Does
he's
really
also
well.
Big. He's not
season,
a small dude.
This season
helps.
Too, they gave him a lot to work with. Like,
oh, yeah.
I think first season was obviously mainly concentrating on Butcher, and you got introduced to them. But you know, the first two episodes, Butcher's not even really in it.
No, it's all Mother's
so
Milk.
You
really.
Got to really kind of dive into the other.
He's
characters.
Making his freaking dollhouse with his fucking angle and shit, protractor and
even
shit.
With, like Frenchie, I like both of them. You really
we got a lot of Frenchie in this.
Yeah.
And that was awesome. I love his character.
Me too.
That's maybe why. And I know Amy, you said that you liked the second season a lot more than the first season.
Personally, yes.
And I'm beginning to feel the same way as I've thought about the second season, consumed it. Is that it's way more of an ensemble piece than the first season is. The first one is like wackadoo Butcher doing wackadoo Butcher things.
Yeah, and what's he gonna do?
And his guys that follow him.
He needed to bring people into the show, and Butcher was the way to do
it. It's very much more of an ensemble. Butcher's still very much there, but it's as equally a show with Huey and Mother's Milk and the female, everyone.
Well, and I know some people that were griping that they thought this second season was like a slower build up.
God, but it was.
But it was
no,
like
it wasn't.
Yeah,
if
that's
you pay
because
attention.
We're building up right. characters more. You're getting backstory.
There's a
that's
bigger cast.
Patience. Yeah. All right.
So I did not mean to talk over you, F.E. Hunter, but no, it infuriates me because I've talked to a few people about that as well. It's not slow. It literally is the definition of character development. Like I understand when people say a show gets slow. I do, because I've been there, and then I understand when people say it's slow because they just don't give a fuck about anything.
Yeah, you watch Supernatural, so boom. There's been seasons where...
oh, no. You watched last season of Battlestar. You want to talk about...
No, fair.
Yes,
very
drags
fair. Yes.
Like a motherfucker.
You're speaking my language,
yeah,
sir.
Okay.
How many dead seasons of Doctor Who have you had?
Oh, man.
Ooh.
You brought Supernatural. I'm going to back up and...
You know, but also, that's so fair. That is
yeah.
so incredibly
Are we good?
Fair. Yeah,
Are
we're,
good
we're
now?
Good. We're
okay.
good. Okay.
All right. Anyway, Dick's back in. So,
yeah,
no,
that was a lot.
I could warn you about bringing up Supernatural with him, man. That
no!
But in seriousness, though, what we got, Butcher brought everyone in. So that was season one. You needed that crazy, you needed the maniacal to get in to fight the soups, right? And then you slowly bring in the team, which by the time the team came in, there wasn't time to build around those characters. But with what you got in the first few episodes, and actually some of the later episodes, depending on which character we're talking about, you got a lot of Mother's Milk and a lot of Frenchie. So you've got Mother's Milk. One of the big things they give about him is he talks about his dad. He talks about how he grew up. He talks about, you see his OCD
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
he has. With Frenchie, you actually get his whole story of why he is the way he is outside
is
of him just
brilliant.
Being outside of him just being a mercenary drug addict. Like, yes, we knew that.
Yeah.
But the whole Lamplighter story and all that, I mean, come on. That story was awesome. And it added so much to Frenchie. Like, now you realize all he's been searching for is redemption.
Exactly.
And that's fucking beautiful.
And also, that redemption arc of them finding Lamplighter in the insane asylum, and Lamplighter feels kind of bad about the kids and stuff. Like, that was not his intention. He feels bad about it, but he's still also still a giant fucking douchebag, like,
yeah,
sociopath.
Is.
He's not good. It's not like he's got this redemption arc where he's going to be a good guy at the end of the day. No, he's just this one, this, like, broken fucking superhero that feels like a shitbag about himself. Yep. But what it does give is redemption for Frenchie, where he realizes like the nature of the situation. He admits to the best excuse in the world for not being there following is like, oh, I had a friend overdosing and dying and I saved his life. And they're like, oh, that's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm late for work. My friend was dying and I saved him, his life. And they're like, okay, that's pretty good. Yeah, that's pretty good.
I think it's the same actor, but he has a twin brother. But I did find it ironic Iceman playing Lamplighter. Like, that was kind of fucking badass that, like, that's the actor they got.
No, it was Iceman.
Okay, was it? Okay. Because I know he has a twin brother.
He does have a twin brother, and his twin brother was in Lock and Key.
The other thing I felt like was really important in this season was that, you know, first season we get introduced to Homelander, and I've not read the comics. And he's just kind of like buck fucking wild in the first season. And I think in the second season, getting to like understand him more was really critical to that character and made me a lot more invested in that we understood him more from like his childhood, which we talked about, and also his relationship with Stormfront and seeing the things where even he kind of takes pause to all the like racist fucking Nazi shit that she says and is like,
where it's too much for Homelander.
But you can see him like weighing it in his mind and being like, you know what, but it's not worth it because my power is more important than my values, quote unquote.
Also, going back to what we've already stated, like, what values does he have besides power?
Exactly.
He doesn't.
But obviously, he has something if he's going to take a second to be fucked up.
We all have an instinct as humans, species that has evolved that is going to at least click at some point.
Yep. And it's how quickly you can shut it off. And you saw how quickly he can shut it off.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I did definitely want to speak to the difference on prejudice between Stormfront and Homelander. And I feel like it's really clear in, and also parallels very well to our president and then the alt-right and the more adamant, open racists in the world, is that I don't believe Homelander is racist he is, don't get me wrong, but like, he's not racist in the terms of like these specific groups of people I think are bad. He sees himself above everyone,
exactly,
including like even a superhero, but he's blind, so he's like, well, then you're clearly not up to my fucking snuff. He's not racist in that like blacks are bad or Mexicans are bad. It's like literally anyone that's not him. And superheroes are close enough to him that they're like, you get a pass, kind of, but it's a case by case basis. I feel like that's a good parallel there. And then Stormfront is that old school fucking Nazism kind of stuff where he's like, okay, so you're like specifically them, like fuck them. And he's like, I mean, yeah, fuck them too, but I didn't really consider them separately as a fuck them. They're just an overall fuck them that I've considered. So that's his squeamishness there, I think.
I mean, he so does understand human relations that when he's on the talk show and he gets stumbled up and all of a sudden he's like, you know, she's a lesbian, right? Like, it wasn't even like giving her a choice of coming out.
Right.
He decided, because he's Homelander, mm-hmm, I'm just going to out her on national TV. And because, and again, he was feeling awkward, so he's like,
keep his power.
Let me take the power back and just out, you know, somebody else.
And I mean, and honestly, they had to bring in another character like Stormfront, aka used to be Liberty, for this, where they're going with Vault. Because, like, where else could they have gone once they revealed that superheroes are made, versus tagging it back to a genetics program, but tracing it back to creating the perfect race? Like, I mean, it makes so much sense.
Right.
Like
I said, I haven't finished them. So yeah, I didn't know
Stormfront was the first superhero in the comics.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was like,
oh, wow.
Yeah, was the first. And I think, in the show, too, as well, right? Well,
yeah, no, she was in the show, too.
Yeah.
She was the first.
The experiment that.
Yeah. She was the first human turned.
That worked. Yeah, yeah, that worked.
That worked. Right.
Yeah. That wasn't born. Right. Because a lot of adults, like we saw in the asylum, were ones that were adults that didn't take. And they
didn't take, right?
Yeah, giant penises.
Glitched.
She was the first adult that was able to get the treatment and then actually come out a success.
Right. So wait, does the Love Sasha's yell, my anaconda don't want none unless you got Bunsan, as his snake dick just like travels towards his prey?
Is canon, yes.
Yeah, that is canon. Okay.
I was going to say, but they're not even keeping track of that shit. Because you, like we said, you have the congresswoman who has powers totally under the radar. To the point she has everybody in that courtroom, nobody's like, oh shit, aren't you so-and-so with powers? She's under the radar. So that means they don't know how many motherfuckers.
Her whole life.
That's what I'm saying. They don't know how many motherfuckers have powers. They haven't kept track of it. They pretend like they did. Obviously, they haven't.
Mm-hmm.
And how much do I absolutely fucking love that as a juxtaposition to Homelander, who is so out there with his powers, to someone who can actually match him, who is the most under the radar with the powers? Oh my God, I loved it. I love the second season so
And that's
much.
The RNC and the DNC. There we go. There we go. But
that's a comparison how they're both fucked, right?
Yeah, they're both
fucked. Exactly. Oh, okay.
They're both fucked in very different ways, though.
Yes. The fuckery is different, but fucked nonetheless.
But they're all fucked either way. Yeah.
General so. Bad.
Yeah.
And
that's a good good moment to take a break here for the middle break here. So take a listen to some of the other shows you can hear on the Geeks Under the Influence Network. When we come back, we're getting into what we're drinking, drunken scene or two, and then back into The Boys season 2. So stick around.
Coming straight from the mouths of madness, I'm Lowdown.
I'm F.U. Hunter.
Do you love horror?
We fucking do.
So this is a podcast dedicated to all things in cinematic horror. We're talking movies, television, composers, special effects artists. We're going to fucking cover it.
So if you love horror,
embrace the madness.
My name is Amy Bogard.
And I'm Mike the Hobbit.
And we are the hosts of Deeply Upsetting, where we use our expertise to answer your most upsetting hypothetical quandaries, such as, what non-wiggin animal deserves wings?
And what body part deserves a secret mouth?
Which cryptid is the worst roommate?
These questions and more that plague you will be answered on Deeply Upsetting, available anywhere you get your podcasts and at GUIpodcast.com.
Hey guys, Scotty Big Daddy Preston here. That's right, the Geek Father, asking you to join me here every other week with friends and family of the GUI Network as we go through all the trials and tribulations of being a geeky parent. So remember, join us or cry.
In a world ravaged by movie studios that keep rehashing the same things, only one podcaster has the guts to make it even worse. Join Mike the Hobbit as he traverses the internet to bring you some of the best and worst ideas for reboots, remakes, and reimaginings of some of your favorite and least favorite TV and film properties. Ideas like a John Waters He-Man movie, Fantastic Four the Musical, and Aliens done entirely with marionettes. What podcast would bring this evil upon the world? This is Smack My Pitch Up. Available anywhere you get your podcasts.
We're back for the second half of Geeks Under the Influence, all things The Boys Season 2. But before we continue with that, we're going to be talking about our sponsors, the ones that allow us all the funds to keep this network above water, barely. Speaking of barely, we're barely telling you to shop Amazon.com through the link at GUIpodcast.com.
And the hate fuck cat.
The
continues.
Hate fuck just continues
Christ.
To happen.
What was that?
Listen. Amazon has its problems, and we are searching for new sponsors. But in the meantime, I know you're shopping Amazon, especially with the holiday season coming in full view of everybody. Just remember, when you're shopping for your presents for the holidays, avoiding those big lines at the stores, especially with the way the world is, make sure to go to GUIpodcast.com and click on the link in the upper right-hand corner to Amazon to shop for your wares. That way we get credit and we actually get money for anything that you purchase. So you're spending the same amount, we're getting credit for it. Helps us pay for this show, because especially during the holidays, our wallets get strapped a little bit paying for presents, getting presents for everybody that we love. If money that goes to supporting the shows on the network gets paid for by your Amazon purchases, it just helps us out a little bit during the holiday season. So make sure you don't make our nieces and nephews cry.
Wow.
If they do, it's your fault.
That's a GUI guilt trip.
That's a GUI guilt trip.
Jesus.
Happy holidays, bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't make kids cry.
If this holiday season sucks for us, it's your fault. No, help us out. Just shop through Amazon through the link at GUIpodcast.com. It helps us out a lot. We appreciate it. On to TeePublic.com. Our TeePublic store. We've got a bunch of designs with all sorts of stuff that you can have it on, not just t-shirts, although that is the predominant thing that people get, but we've got laptop cases, we've got mugs, we've got magnets, stickers, pins, all sorts, masks that you can get all of our stuff on through TeePublic. Just go to GUIpodcast.com/store, click on the link to TeePublic, and fill your cart with all sorts of presents for your family that won't get the references of the podcast that you listen to. And your mom's like, why does it say shut the fuck up, Hobbit, on this t-shirt? And you go like, Mom, it's funny. Just wear it. And then you're like 98-year-old mother wears a shirt with my face on it telling me to shut the fuck up.
Then she listens to it and is like, oh, I get it.
And then also, you're not allowed to come to holidays anymore after that. So
she's perfect. Like, win-win.
Help yourself out for next year by making sure you get excommunicated from the family by buying GUI podcast merch.
Irritate your family members.
Irritate your family members. Also, a reminder, for the time being, we are donating all of our profits from our sales on TeePublic to the Holly Fund, which helps out local restaurants and restaurant workers in the Richmond area during the COVID stuff. So it helps out people that are having the hardest time during the holiday season so they can get by. Also, anytime you buy a mask through the store, N95 mask gets donated to frontline workers so that they are better able to handle all the mess that is happening in the world. So those are our sponsors. And now on to the lubrication that that helps us get through the show. The liquid courage that allows us to talk so adamantly about how much Jeff Bezos sucks.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about what we're drinking.
Hey, we're fucking drinking. We're getting drunk. You want to know? Well, here you go. Hey,
we're drinking. We're getting drunk.
Yay.
Goddamn.
All right, so what we're drinking. Now, Amy, you were nice enough to bring a thematic drink for us to enjoy on this episode. What are we drinking here tonight?
I decided to be cute and I got a milk stout. A mother's milk stout, if you will. Don't placate me. Fuck off. Anyways, it's from Victory and it's a Java latte cold brew milk stout. So I've never had it before.
It's pretty tasty.
It's tasty.
I'm not mad at it at all.
It's really good.
It's got like a thing on the back. It's like super creamy on the back end.
Mm-hmm.
Like very creamy. You know what I'm saying?
Just like me. Silence. Wow. Okay. Cool.
That's the way to do it. All right.
Cool.
So anyway.
GUI snub.
But also, what is that? Do you want to be creamy?
I mean, front end, back end, I want to be creamy at some point.
Why is he caressing his breasts like that? Oh.
Jesus Christ.
Welcome
anyway.
To my life, everyone.
Choice. Anyway.
Thank you.
Mm. What's the ABV on that bad boy?
It is 8.2.
Okay, so
okay.
That does not hit like an 8.2.
Nope.
Like,
it's
smooth.
Way smooth for an 8.2.
Really, it's really smooth, but you get the coffee, the milk stout's still very, that's the creaminess that you're getting.
Yeah, it's the milk part, yeah. No, I know, it's just like, creamier than most milk stouts.
It was the safest choice right now because I feel like right now, getting into the holiday season, it was like frosted gingerbread man milk stout. I was like, I don't fucking want that. Coffee,
I do.
Great.
I don't know.
That sounds pretty fucking tasty.
What's the name of that again?
The
all
fuck?
Right, well,
I liked. It's time for the season.
But also, as we were outside,
I'm
it was like 69 degrees.
I know. Nice. We need whatever we can to get us in
that's,
the mood.
And that's Al Gore's fault, okay?
Yeah, okay.
It's all Al Gore's fault.
That was me being grinchy. I got this coffee one for your daily life, for a morning beverage.
Now, a quick aside on the boys that actually that pairs well with this milk stout here is that the mother's milk thing in the comics, mother's milk, his mother was actually worked at a job where she got exposed to Compound V. And so mother's milk actually was born with powers along with his brother, who is of special needs. His brother, when the powers developed, he was wearing a helmet and he grew to an exponential size and it crushed his head.
Yeah.
Which is a lot. Mother's milk, the reason why he's called mother's milk is because when he developed powers, he has like strength, basically. He's just a big old strong dude, but he has to drink his mother's breast milk in order to survive. Like if he doesn't drink his mother's breast milk, he dies. So the breast milk thing from the show is actually kind of pushed over from mother. Like, there's not two breast milk drinkers
seriously?
In the comics.
Yeah. Seriously?
But, like, the show was just like, there's breast milk drinking in the comic. I guess we got to make
somebody
drink breast milk.
Yeah.
Let's make Homelander drink breast milk.
That
blew my
mind when you told me that. I had no idea.
So mother's milk, he's got the name mother's milk, but he's not the one drinking breast milk. It's fucking Homelander.
Yeah. Why did I never question that? I was like, yeah, sure.
They added a whole other level of fuckitude.
That's the mind of Garth Ennis, and he goes there.
No, but, like, the fact that I think it's actually more fucked up in the comic Because adding that to Homelander is like a whole other thing.
Oh, when he's like tonguing the bottle.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, God.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's pretty fucking rough.
It's so rough.
It's rough.
It was not my favorite.
Yeah, speaking of rough, we've got another thing happening here on the show
drunken
that's always
scene.
Rough. We're talking about making a drunken scene.
Making a drunken scene.
So we've got actually two scenes from season two, and we have not pulled it out yet. Lowdown, who you're really pushing for?
Homelander.
Oh. Okay.
I was sure you were going to want to be Butcher, man. How did you not want to be Butcher?
Because I think I'm gonna have fun with Homelander. I think.
First one is Homelander and Ashley, and the second one is Victoria and Butcher. So we've got both the heroes and the boys represented in the scenes. So we've got Ashley in the first scene. Do we have any takers?
Oh, I'll do that.
You'll do that? Okay, mm-hmm. So Amy will be Ashley. And then Victoria and Butcher. Hunter, do you have any preference there?
Butcher?
You can be Butcher.
Of course he wants to be Butcher.
Yeah.
He's fucking Butcher.
So I'll be Victoria.
Nice.
On this one.
I want to hear this accent that you do, Hunter.
I don't know what I'm doing yet. I had a whole thing played up for Homelander. I don't know what I'm doing for Butcher.
Oh,
okay, all right. So that's the first one. This is Homelander talking to Ashley about the girls get it done.
Jesus.
I don't know, like, vaught, like, thing
they're
doing.
I want to incite the rage that I'm sure most of the females felt during this scene. So I hope I do a good job.
Oh, my God.
Me
it's
too.
So...
It's rough.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Like you said, how women felt, and then immediately Amy goes, me too. Like she's just getting prepared. She's got her hashtags ready mm-hmm. for this. Okay, so whenever you're ready, Homelander.
Look at this. Look at these strong female lesbians. I'm inspired. Are you inspired?
Ooh, yeah.
Girls get it on.
Done. Girls get it done.
They sure do, Ashley.
Oh. that was such an uncomfortable scene.
I was trying to just compare, like, when he said that, it was like looking at a cute dog.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I totally got that from you.
No, but he was totally, I feel like that's what he was doing, but just like way more pervy. He's like,
did you feel my rage? Because that was me at my ragiest.
I did.
Thank you.
I did.
Yeah. You raged so good, baby.
Aww. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you so
fuck.
Much.
That was more disgusting than that scene. I'm not joking, people.
Yeah, but that leads into what we were talking about with Homelander, just like being so dismissive
yep.
of anybody that's below him.
Just it was two shits.
And in that scene specifically, that's where, was it Maude? Where he has this like, thing that he can use as an explanation as to why she's not worth his time, you
yep.
know, that oh, she gays out, so clearly not worth my fucking time.
Totes
not. Yeah. So next we've got Victoria and Butcher. I'm gonna be Victoria.
No.
Opposition's gonna have a field day with him.
Can you
man,
holy shit.
keep going
okay.
Disgruntled ex soup. I am fairly sure he's fucked half the Sacred Heart cheerleading squad. But yeah, he'll be a good witness. It's not enough, though, Gubner.
No!
Are you fucking like Michael Caine's mother? Fuck! Jesus Christ.
Oh, man. How am I supposed to follow that?
Yeah.
Not enough. It's torturing and burning a bunch of mentals of what say ain't enough for you, Muppets. Then what the fuck are you good for, huh? A strongly worded tweet, you cunt.
Yeah.
So we have literally
ad-libbing.
We have literally a conversation between Michael Caine and his mother.
Yeah.
That's what we had.
Michael Caine.
Michael Caine.
Michael Caine.
Watch out for them cunts.
Some men just want to watch the world burn.
You were doing sort of a Sean Connery thing there.
Yeah. And I just gave up.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But, oh, that would have been the ultimate that, respect,
let's,
though.
Let's cheers
oh,
for,
fuck.
Let's cheers for
Sir Sean Connery.
Sean Connery.
Even
Connery.
Though he liked to hit women.
Yeah, I mean, like, what? Yeah, like, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was a huge thing. He was an advocate for, like... Oh,
he, like, no. doubled down on it, too.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'm just saying.
Put the cups down.
Yeah, he
put
said it, down. And then later no. they, like, asked him about it, and he was all like, oh, yeah, I totally hit women.
No.
What?
But I get it. Like, I say, okay.
No, okay, rephrase.
No, hold on. Not the hitting women
Wait,
thing.
What?
Acting, I mean, amazing. But, like, I don't want to aggrandize the
yeah,
dude
sure.
for
sure.
hitting and being okay with... And thinking it's okay.
Yeah.
That it should be commonplace to do like the fucking rule of thumb anymore.
Yeah.
Or like, you know.
So the cheers, was for his roles.
James Bond. James Bond, Medicine Man. Yeah.
Hold on.
I don't want to do it now.
I'll take backing up a little bit for 500, Alex.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Because I also want to give a shout out.
Okay.
Alex,
that's cheers to Alex.
Alex
Trebek.
A true hero.
That's all the way cheers because he.
Alex.
There's been no fuckery about with Alex Trebek. So.
Bless.
Yeah.
Alex Trebek shot bald eagles. I don't know if you knew that.
Don't ruin my life again.
I don't think this podcast is American enough for that to matter.
What right, is fair. Shut the fuck
I'm sorry.
Up, Hobbit?
He was a Canadian. It doesn't matter. It doesn't count.
That's what he said when he shot bald eagles. Yeah.
I'm a Canadian.
He's like, I'm tired of you shitting on my car. Get the fuck out of Canada.
That's your fault for parking under a protected bald eagle nest.
It wouldn't be protected in Canada, though. It had to be like, it would stick his ass over the border and just shit on his car.
See, he did not believe in immigration. That's pretty fucked up.
Yeah, it's pretty
it is kind of fucked up.
For bald eagle.
I did want to speak a little bit to Garth Ennis, the writer of the comics that really helped, and also the showrunners that got the show off the ground here. Garth Ennis, if you're unfamiliar with some of the stuff he's written, he did some Punisher. He did Preacher, which was also a show on AMC that was also very dark and very fucked up.
It was a fucking acid trip. That show was one giant fucking acid
trip.
Total
fucking acid trip.
Holy shit balls.
Incredibly fucking crazy.
And the comic, honestly, it's this, I think, 62 issues run, but it's, you know, not that hard to go through.
No, it's really easy to run through. But what I do like is that Preacher was very hard to adapt, and Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg, his writing partner, were the ones that adapted it for AMC. And there had been a number of people that approached Garth Ennis for the longest time about adapting some of his properties, and he never really gave a go-ahead for any of them until they showed up and pitched him an idea for Preacher, where he was like, okay, this sounds good. I'm into this. And they did Preacher. And if you want to know whether or not he was happy with the end result, he then gave them approval to go and do The Boys after that on Amazon. So I think he's kind of okay with the way that they're adapting. It's clear that they're fans of the material. They understand what is trying to be portrayed. And the same kind of disconnect from the comic is happening in The Boys that it did in Preacher, where it doesn't follow exactly.
Which is good.
Yeah, I like it. But it has the spirit of it, right?
Yes.
And that's, I think, the real trick, is that it feels like tonally what it's supposed to be.
And there was that excitement for people who had read The Boys when Amazon announced that the show was coming out, and the possibilities of reading that book, of what could be on screen, you were a little worried, maybe, but then you watched what they did with The Preacher, and you're like, okay, if they got away with that on fucking AMC...
On AMC...
Oh, what's the possibility on fucking Prime? And they have not disappointed.
Although I will say, even so, and agreed, totally agreed, but there's still stuff they're not going to do. Like that, even currently, there's stuff that they kind of like did a lighter version of, just because it's one thing for it to be in comics, and then to have like live action people portraying it is a little bit more. What turned out to be the Deep and Starlight scene in the beginning.
Yeah.
Was a lot more involved with more characters and more graphic in the comics. And so the way they did it, I wasn't mad at it at all. It actually created a whole different...
It had the tone without it being multiple fucking cocks, all right?
Yeah.
Let's just say a cock in the room, unwanted, is still one, you know, Too many cocks. Yeah.
Too many dicks on the dance floor.
Exactly. Yeah.
As it were. Yes.
I never want to dance again.
Ooh. A beat that they had in the second season, and we've already done the spoiler warning, but last episode, in the comic, when Butcher's wife dies, he takes it out on the person that caused his wife's death with a crowbar.
Wow, I really thought you meant he takes his dick out because we had just talked about that.
His wife dies, he's like, and here's my dick.
I literally was staring at Hunter like, what?
And they
he just airs it out. He's like, for Harambe. Yeah.
You could say he got cockney.
Oh, no.
Why do I do these things? I don't know.
Anyhow.
Wow.
But
and also just getting like super self-congratulatory afterwards, like, why do I do this?
Thank you.
I'm a stinker.
My naughty Steven.
You're just mad.
That
sir.
Is true. That's jealousy.
He's seriously mad he didn't do it first. I know him. He's just like, damn it.
But on the last episode of the show, after his wife dies, and you see him, and he's filled up with just so much anger, and he grabs a crowbar. And everybody that read the comics like, oh, he's about to beat the fuck out of that kid with the fucking crowbar. And he doesn't do it. But the only reason to have the crowbar anywhere in that scene is for the comic reader to be like, he's about to murder the fuck out of that kid.
Yep.
And can we talk about a scene? Can we talk about the pure bloodlust rage that Carl Urban portrayed in his fucking face when he goes to turn around? Oh. Like, I almost felt like my face masking it because it was so intense. You felt like you had to do the same thing. Like, there was so much pain that he portrayed in that one shot where he looks up and he goes to turn around and you see it. You see a full face. You're like, holy fuck, dude.
And actually, the way they portrayed the wife, because in the comics, for those unfamiliar, the wife does die during childbirth in the comics. So she's given a lot more credence in the show than she does in the comics. And that's intentional. Garth Ennis always regretted not giving her more time in the comic books because she did what's referred to commonly as fridging with that character, which they also did with Robin, Huey's girlfriend, where it's killing a female character to give motivation to a male character.
Mm.
Where does the term
fridging come from?
From
Green Lantern.
Green Lantern.
Literally, they introduce a new Green Lantern, and in the second issue of him, they introduce his girlfriend in the first issue, and the second issue they go, and the bitch is dead in a fridge. And literally, that's like, we took the time to let you get to meet her in one issue, and then we fucking murdered her.
Yeah.
So
he had written himself into a corner, and he didn't really know what to do, so he just went, ah, fuck it, she dies, I guess. And he was actually very relieved that they were able to kind of work that out a little bit more in the show, where she became a strong character in her own right. And though she did eventually die, she died on her own terms. It wasn't like a motivation for the character. If anything,
she died on her own terms.
Well, but also it wasn't like the motivation that motivated Butcher. You know, it was more that he had to kind of push back his desires in that moment.
Well, yeah, there's a moment of redemption for him because he had sold out because all he cared about was her. He had sold out the kid. And then at the last minute, he's like, all right, I'm going to be straight with you. I was about to fuck you over, but I've had a change of heart. And like up to that point, he didn't give two shits about the kid.
Correct.
It was save her, fuck the kid.
Yep.
And after she dies, it's I made a promise and the kid's going to be safe. But the only reason I said that Hobbit was because she didn't die on her own terms. Her fucking kid killed her. That's not dying on your own terms. No mother wishes her kid to kill her.
Well, she didn't die to motivate another character, I guess.
Fair.
True, and she got to have really her own, you know, identity when it came to being a parent because you see her for the entire first season through the eyes of Butcher as his love interest. And so then, you know, he reconnects with her and she's like, yeah, you're my love interest, but guess what? I have something more important than you now. Sorry, but this is actually way more important than
and
you.
And it breaks her heart too. It wasn't like a write-off.
Easy.
It broke her heart.
It did,
to do
but that,
that
gave
know?
Her so much of her own stance and it was incredible as a female character.
It also developed all the characters involved. You had more of a break in feelings about how you felt about Butcher because on one end you understand his motivations, but on the other end he's like, no, fuck that kid, I would murder that kid. And you're like, you're a fucking monster, this is a mother. You understand her motivations in a primal sense.
Yeah.
And him, you're like, okay, you need to chill the fuck out a little bit. And so it actually really re-engages the identity of Butcher as this, like, kind of in between. He's not even an anti-hero. He's maybe a villain. He's maybe a hero. He's somewhere in between. You don't really trust him to make the right decisions. He might do some really dirty shit that you're not rooting for him. And that's important in the show.
Well, and when you talk about fridging, the information that we've gotten about her as a parent has been really cool because, you know, we've talked on this episode about the difference between like a super like Democratic point of view versus a Republican point of view or all that and how it has come to terms with the show. But what she is giving her child has been ultimate knowledge. And that's all we've learned about their like parent son relationship mm-hmm. is that she is just constantly feeding him knowledge and letting him learn on his own terms and has been just kind of like this equal playing field to just be like, get all the knowledge that you possibly can because this is all I can give you at this point. Like,
sure.
She has provided him with the best possible set of skills that she could in this weird like prison that they have.
Yeah, this weird fake neighborhood prison that they're in.
Yeah, she's parented the shit out of it and it's incredible.
But he has the one thing that Homelander didn't have. Actual nurturing, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Like, and wow. power, nurturing and power.
But one thing he also doesn't have, and she wasn't able to provide to him, so it's not any fault of hers, is that involvement with other people. You know, I've you know, a number of friends with, you know, kids where, especially with like COVID and everything happening, one of their big things is like, we want to give her kid an opportunity to hang out with other kids and be sociable and develop social skills and all these things that are incredibly important to be engaged in a normal society. And that's something Homelander didn't have. And also his kid didn't have either. Now the kid, like the mother had no say in the matter there, but that was also incredibly detrimental to Homelander, not knowing how to engage socially with people.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yes.
So yeah. She's only able to give as much as she could in that circumstance, but she wasn't able to give him the entire piece of the pie.
But he can also socialize with her more so than Homelander was able to socialize with the people that raised
him. Sure, that's
because true. It wasn't about a social thing.
But that's like and mommy socializing.
Well, true, but
that's...
he doesn't understand any socializing.
Now,
true.
They gave you one shot to show the importance and the lividity for Homelander when they go into the courtroom and Vought rolls his ass in and Homelander turns around to look at him. His face does change.
Mm-hmm.
He is like he went through some shit in that in realizing that he's seeing basically who was his father.
Right.
But wasn't his father. And he was to it's like, imagine like to your father, you are viewed as a weapon / scientific breakthrough.
Yeah. You're a commodity.
Exactly. And like, I feel like it was, like I said, it was very minuscule. Listeners, if you don't know what I'm talking about, go back and watch that episode. I think it was six?
I think it's the second to last one, I believe.
Six or seven?
Yeah.
Something I think like it was seven.
Those lines.
Seven. It's a really quick shot, but Homelander looks back and he looks nothing but vulnerable,
okay,
knowing that he was
going
to be there. Yeah,
good
and
acting.
I think that was a very good plant for the character. Like Homelander isn't invulnerable. We all know like there's something that could destroy him, and he definitely is a sociopath. He doesn't understand even the idea of caring about somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to the reasons why, when you see the person who did that to him show up, he is like a kid again. And I thought that was awesome.
I mean, he acts like we've seen, you know, hidden video of, you know, celebrities and stuff like that, where they're so used to a point where they're at such a status that people are supposed to kiss their ass. And when they don't, like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Don't you know who I am?
Yeah.
Like, it's almost like, am I really having to do this myself or explain to you? Like just insulting, like on top of like, you're supposed to worship me and I have to explain to you what I want or I need you to do this.
Yeah.
Just fucking do it.
Well, they legit show that when it comes to the Stormfront going to the little, you know, science experiment lab hospital.
Yeah.
And he like wanted to show her something and he had gotten her flowers.
Oh, he yeah, lost
and he
his
fucking
shit.
Torched the goddamn trailer.
Yeah, your trailer.
Just
because
it took
fire.
Like a couple hours, it's like, I bought you these flowers. Yeah.
Yeah.
But see, it was also a really like subtle way of talking about nature versus nurture, because, you know, that's what Homelander has been trained for. But then you see kind of that weird level of sympathy that he has, like, in the dark recesses of his character when he's out to lunch with his kid and then the paparazzi swarms around and he flies them out because his kid is getting overwhelmed. And you also see it for a very brief moment where Stormfront has that moment where she says that white people are trying to be eradicated, and you see Homelander look at her like, what the fuck? But it's not enough to change his mind. His kid is maybe a little bit enough, because again, it just goes into like that deep, like totally repressed form of his childhood.
And repressed is a good word. I kind of started looking at it and going with everything you just said as far as when you see the empathy that Homelander does have.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't nurtured, it's tranquilized almost.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. Exactly. Like, yep.
And you actually feel for him, not for the fact that you see that he has it and then he shows it under certain circumstances, the fact that he has it and it's part of him and it's buried down
so
there.
Subdued.
And it's just so tranquilized that he doesn't even know how to tap into it on a regular basis. And it's fucking, that's sad.
Oh, it is.
He needs nurturing on a level that literally has the shape changer of the group hidden out in a fucking cabin to shape change into the chick he fucking murdered, who up till he murdered her was giving him a tit to suck on.
Yep.
Like, to that point where he's like, I know you're not her, but you're gonna fucking change her because it helps me out a
fucking
little bit.
Fucking change back.
Like, oh, that's the point where he's got like so Oedipus sexual kink.
Yep.
Ew.
Yeah.
Ew.
Like, but he gets confronted with it when a doppelganger changes to him and he's like, okay, now you're hitting too close to home, motherfucker.
I'm gonna suck. He's gonna be like, suck his own dick, literally. And he's like, nope, this isn't cool. I'm not comfortable with this.
Well, and that's kind of the brilliance of actually moving the like breast milk drinking over to Homelander, is that Mother's Milk, that character isn't really gaining anything in the this version of the story by having that weird tangent, because they didn't decide to go with anybody in the boys having powers besides the female of the species. So you move that over to Homelander, and it explains where that his disconnect on the social construct of families and relationships is so broken that both like mother and partner are kind of like imbued together and fused into this weird like hybrid creature of like, I'm going to drink your breast milk and fuck you kind of like. Where even drinking breast milk out of a milk bottle is weirdly and disgustingly sexual.
Oh, God. Oh.
I will say this. They talked about it being in the first season. It didn't make it in the first season, but I guess they got enough that they could put it in the second season. But one of the last shots of him, you know, top of the...
That's what I was talking about.
Yeah, jerking off.
I never thought they put that scene in there.
It was supposed to be the first season. They took it out. I guess they were like, we've done enough. I think we can get away with this. So here you go, folks.
And I'm like, oh, Jesus, really? Oh, they did it.
Yeah, but that felt so right, because that was just him alone at the end of everything.
Well, that was the point of in the comic.
Right.
Earlier on than what events that unfolded in season two.
Exactly. But after those events, if they were to move it, it made sense to be there, because it was like, well, at least I'll always have me.
Yeah, it was a lot sadder.
The most important.
It was a lot sadder than was projected in the comic.
And that's true, because think of it, by the time in the show when it went through season two, he'd already been basically just shut down by society for a time. He had to learn how to get re-accepted by society and then actually open his heart up to this Nazi cunt bitch who I honestly don't know at the end when she was burnt to a crisp by Homelander Jr., but he didn't seem too upset that she was pretty much useless.
Like, he was bummed out.
Yeah.
But he wasn't like upset.
I think he was a little thrown off with everything that just happened.
Exactly. But he wasn't like upset.
By the way, the showrunners have already stated that Stormfront's not dead.
I know that. Oh, no.
She was alive when they.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, people kind of question that. And they specifically said, no.
No, she's not dead.
No, she's not dead.
Yeah.
So. Let's see where that
goes. Does she have regenerative properties?
She does.
Yeah.
Yeah, she does. So we will see her back.
Laser beamed in the tits, I mean.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
Additionally, I looked up what she said when she was speaking in German at the end.
Oh, yeah, what is that?
I don't have the exact language that she was talking about, but it was like, do you remember, Frederick, when we were hanging out under the tree with our family? And it's just reminiscing about like a lovely day in a field with her family, like with with Vought, like senior, the founder.
Daddy Nazi.
Yeah, Daddy Nazi. Oh. As they were like Nazi-ing about in a field under a tree and just being like a warm, loving family, where it's clearly that that was always her motivation, where like Homelander, nobody else really mattered as much as her first like family that she ever had. And which she reminisced about her daughter multiple times during the season as well. So it's clear that she just never got over that. And the rest of it is just kind of like set dressing.
Well, she wants to recreate that with that, like, Aryan Nation-looking motherfucker Homelander, obviously. Yeah.
But clearly, like, in her moments where she's just, blathering on, it goes back to Friedrich Vought.
I love that, the fact that Homelander hates fucking Starlight. And at the very end, there they are on stage.
Oh, God.
And you see he's like, we're all together, yay! And you can tell he's like, I fucking hate this bitch, like... But he's got to keep it for the public perception.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it together, man.
He's
keep
a performer.
Together. Yep.
And I'm so stoked that the first two seasons have been so incredibly good. But also, they've already been approved for a third season, and I believe a fourth season, if I'm not wrong. But definitely a third season. And also, it's one of the highest-rated shows ever on Amazon Prime. And it's not as expensive by any whisper on how much they're spending on the Lord of the Rings series that they're planning on doing.
Oh, fuck
so
yeah.
So if they can keep their budget decent, like where it is right now with The Boys, and they continue to bring out the same solid seasons as they have been for the first two, I see this going for a while.
Yeah.
And I really hope so, because it's... I loved Preacher. I love The Boys more. The Boys just...
The guy that did the main preacher and Preacher.
Yeah.
He did a good job, don't get me wrong. But fuck, Carl Urban was fucking born to be the goddamn Butcher.
Which is funny because he looks nothing like the comic book character.
It's all attitude.
Attitude, yeah.
And you know what's funny? The first episode, I enjoyed it. Didn't really notice too much who was missing till he shows up in the second episode. And as soon as he starts hitting his fucking dialogue, I was like, oh, fuck, man. I forgot how much I goddamn love Carl Urban Butcher. Like,
so much.
So fucking
so
good.
So much.
Ugh.
Carl Urban, and I would love to do just an episode on Carl Urban.
He's covered so much of our world.
Well, it's because he's a genuine nerd.
Yeah.
I've read up on Carl Urban. Like, he's a from birth nerd. Like, he read the comic
he's
books.
He's done some shit, too, though. Let's be fair.
Yeah, but I mean, before
Pathfinder.
Before he was even an actor, he... as a kid was obsessed with nerd culture stuff. Like, he read comic books, he was into sci-fi and horror movies and all the stuff that we're into. So he actually focuses on the roles that he wants on being nerd material. He was in Doom, dude. Like,
yeah, that's one of the shit ones I'm talking about.
But like, even though that movie sucked, he wanted to be in the Doom movie.
He's like a buffed out Simon Pegg. Like, you know, because Simon Pegg has the same thing where he gets into a lot of stuff, but you don't really see that many like leading action roles for Simon Pegg. Carl Urban kind of gets away with that a little bit more.
Oh, God, wouldn't you love, like, a buddy comedy of Carl Urban and Simon Pegg?
Yes.
Let's
fuck
that out.
I don't know, because I feel like he'd be just cheating on Nick Frost. I don't know how I feel about that.
Nick Frost could still be in there. He just, you know.
They're the buddies, though.
That's the comedy, is that Nick Frost and Simon Pegg are married, and then he finds a new friend that's straight, and there's no chance of it becoming romantic, but then the husband gets really jealous about it.
Smack My Face.
Yeah, okay,
territory.
Sorry. That's my fault. I love what The Boys has done for the first couple seasons, and I'm really looking forward to see what they do with season three. They have set up a lot of really interesting like story arcs that happen into season three. With A-Train rejoining the Seven, but also all of the shit that he has on Starlight basically meaning nothing anymore.
Yep.
And then the dynamics of Starlight in the Seven, and also Maud, and how they deal with Maud in the Seven, because she's also kind of turncoated a little bit.
You know, he's still around. Black Noir is...
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to speak to what's happened in the comics with Black Noir, because as much as we did say spoilers, there's a huge thing.
We can't
bring
that up.
And we'll just leave that be in case it comes out.
But they
later.
Made a point to stress that he's still alive.
He's coming back.
Yeah.
He's coming back.
And as obviously you heard earlier, I am a huge Supernatural fan. So there's some
big stuff happened in season three with Jensen Ackles being Soldier Boy.
Soldier Boy.
I'm definitely looking forward to that.
They'd also talked about doing a spinoff from The Boys.
Oh, that's been cleared. They're doing basically like young superheroes.
Yeah, because in the comic, there's like the kind of new mutants to the X-Men.
The G-Men.
Yeah, the G-Men of The Boys universe.
But Professor Xavier is a pedophile in that one. So we'll see. But I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with the series and with the spinoff as well. That's going to be fantastic. But stick around for next episode of Geeks Under the Influence. It's going to be our 200th episode of GUI. That's going to be a free play, as most of our big ones tend to be. And we're going to have some, most of the showrunners are going to be popping in, if not, actually here to record, and some guests possibly as well. So stick around for that one. And Lowdown, we got Knights coming for the next week, I believe, right? Following this one. I want to thank the Creepazoids for Dead by Dawn, that you heard on the intro and the outro for this episode. Remember to rate, review, and subscribe to Geeks Under the Influence for not only GUI Podcast, but also GUI Nights and also GUI Precap at the beginning of the week. And make sure to check out GUIPodcast.com for links to all the other shows on the network, including Amy's Deeply Upsetting, Hunter's Beautiful Disasters, and From the Mouths of Madness, and also Mouths of Madness with Lowdown here as well. And Spack My Pitch Up with me and plenty else available at GUIPodcast.com. I'm Mike the Hobbit, and as always, join us or die.
Shut the fuck up, Hobbit.
Join us or die! Join us or die! Or I will swallow your soul!
GUIPodcast.com.
Laser my chest!